It's time for JT the Brick.
The Raider offseason is about content that is productive.
Shotgun to O'Connell. Backpedaling. Lobbing to the end zone. Trying to get at him. Makes the grab. Touchdown, Raiders.
I thought Aiden O'Connell played pretty well last year. He's a quarterback who's serviceable.
Now pressure. Gets out of there. Crosby's got him from behind. Back at the 45-yard line.
There's no better player who plays with heart and passion and speed than Mad Max Crosby. Wait till you see him this upcoming season.
JT the Brick.
Dot to throw. Spillane on the blitz, and he wraps him up and holds him up for a sack.
I love the addition of Jack Jones. All the plays he made last year will be a great addition for this team moving forward.
Intercepted down the sideline. Intercepted Jack Jones, and he walks in. Touchdown.
And now,
Raiders!
All right, now we're good. Let's get to it.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, ready to roll today. It's Friday. Who's not ready to have a great Friday in Las Vegas, man? We're still at the point where it isn't blistering hot yet. It's hot. We like it hot here because when it's hot out here, it means it's sunny and it doesn't rain. We have listeners listening to us all over the globe on Raider Nation Radio. And if it's not sunny and hot, it might be raining. I gave up rain when I moved out of New York. I said, I can't take it anymore. I can't take rain anymore. It rained for most of my life in high school and college. I said, I'll take a little bit of the heat, but please give me no rain. And it barely never rains out here. So if you're coaching Little League, you're playing soccer on the weekends, it might be hot, but you're not going to get a rain out. And the weather is really starting to get roasty out here. I'm sending out the pre-show tweet. Vinny Bonsignor joins me here in about 25 minutes, and I'm ready for a good weekend. How about you? Everyone ready coming off Memorial Day weekend, last weekend, the long weekend? Maybe felt like a little bit of a shorter break this week, and now we're heading into the weekend again. I get a long weekend of work, Bobby. It's a 7-day work week. I'm working Saturday, Sunday on satellite radio, 4-hour shifts, but it's okay. It's okay because I'm not putting out oil fires and I'm not running towards terror. It's just a regular radio show, but this is one of those 7-day-a-week shifts that I'm excited about. Went out last night to La Casa Cigars, had a stick, saw some live music, went to the Fountain Blue. One of my friends were in town. Man, walking through the Fountain Blue, that was pretty spectacular. Wow. Walking through that place was pretty spectacular. So I had a fun night last night. And today, it's all about a couple of things. It's Raiders OTAs wrapping up. Raiders have been around the facility. The rookies, the veterans, the majority of the team has been there, the coaches. A lot of these coaches are meeting each other for the first time. There's new coaches, there's new personnel. People are getting raises and moved up in the personnel department. And I can't wait for the media guide to come out so I can get to know some of the new names and getting to know the new players and trying to figure out what's going to happen going forward. Some Jimmy G money is releasing, thanks to Jimmy G. I like Jimmy G a lot. I really did. Jimmy was a good guy. And even when Jimmy was benched, remember, he was hurt, and then he came back completely healthy, and he was benched. They still kept the captaincy on him, and he still was leading the team. He was still out there in warm-ups and trying to coach and help the quarterbacks. And on the way out, he made a little bit of a mistake with something he put into his system, and we're going to get the bonus of a little bit of extra money. I think that Tom Telesco is a really good high-end shopper. I think that Tom Telesco knows personnel as good as most. I think he's above average personnel. Look at his first round picks. And I'm hoping that Tom can go out there and get another player, maybe a cornerback, maybe another right tackle for depth, whatever he's going to do. I think we're good at running back. We're unbelievable at tight end. Really good at wide receiver. Really good on the defensive line. Serviceable at linebacker. Again, Divine Diablo, I'd like to see him have a breakout year. Masterson's a good player. He's not a pro bowler. Spillane, I thought, was a pro bowler last year. I thought Spillane had a hell of a year. Hell of a year. But we got to get some pro bowlers on defense other than Max and Christian Wilkins. Someone's got to become a pro bowler. The best choice for me would be Nate Hobbs. Everybody wants to crown Nate Hobbs as the best nickel corner out there. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to play. He can't come off the field. He's got to be out there with Jack Jones and then got to develop some of these corners. Should be able to develop as a corner for the Raiders if you're going up against Devontae and Jacoby Myers in practice. You should be able to develop as a safety if you're going up against Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers in practice. I mean, the depth of this team is really important here because practices, I think, are going to be harder. I think, you know, and Gruden and McDaniels were really hard. They made you practice. I mean, those guys, Gruden and McDaniels, they were no joke. Okay, this wasn't a camp where, hey, go get a water break every 5 minutes. Josh McDaniels came from the Belichick tree. I know you don't like him, but they ran some pretty damn hard practices in Henderson and in New England. And John Gruden, as I was at many of his practices, that wasn't a walkthrough. He was a coach back when they used to allow you to coach in training camp and do two-a-days and put you in pads. Antonio Pierce, I think he wants to get out there every day and play football, but there's rules. He's got to follow them, and he's a former player. And if there's a guy who can relate to players, it's Antonio Pierce. He can relate. He's been there. He's won a Super Bowl. He made big plays against Brett Favre. He made monster plays in the Super Bowl. He can relate to players. So that's where I want to go today in the monologue. I'm still, I talked to someone pretty high up today about this 12 personnel. So I called someone today and said, I want to talk about 12 personnel and your history with it. And the gentleman that I talked to told me how 12 personnel works and it could work better with the Raiders. So I just listened. And the majority of the conversation was you run the ball. You should run the ball very effectively in 12 personnel in a two tight end set. Okay, you don't have a fullback, you don't have a blocking back, you have a single back, you got two tight ends, you got power, you got that right tackle, that tight end next to him, and you could really run the ball. And if you remember the Raiders the first time Gruden came around, when they had, you know, Roland Williams, when they had Ricky Dudley, they had a blocking tight end and a tight end that could get open downfield. What was so good about the Raiders in the Gannon era, when they ran 12 personnel, was play action. And that's what hit me today and is the focus of the monologue brought to you by PT's, the best happy hour in town, 5 to 7, midnight to 2. Head on out to happy hour twice a day, half-price drinks and food. I promise you, once you get there, it'll be your happy hour spot. So, again, with 12 personnel when in the Gruden era the first time, Gruden was here twice. The first time, it really worked well because they could run the ball with Tyrone Wheatley and Napoleon Kaufman and John Ritchie. If you remember those Raider teams, they ran it down your throat. And then the play action was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And helping, you had Jerry Rice and Tim Brown and Jerry Porter. And you had guys, Charlie Garner. They really did a nice job of selling the run. So as I talked about this earlier today, and I was mostly listening about it, what got me was you got to run the ball effectively first. Right? You can't go into 12 personnel and then all of a sudden the other teams – the defensive coordinator goes, oh, man, they're running 12 personnel, but they can't run it. They don't have a great offensive line, and they're going to dictate that they're going to hand the ball up to Zeus up the middle. We can stop that because when you're in 12 personnel, the other team's defense has to stay pretty basic. They're not going to sub in nickels. They're not going to be able to do a lot of different things there. They're going to have to play a basic defense. And teams don't blitz a lot when they go up against 12 personnel. They just don't. They blitz less. So what's advantageous to the Raiders now is they have two young tight ends who are very athletic that can block. They're good blockers. Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers can block. These are tight ends. Okay, these are not. These are pure, really good young tight ends. They can go out in the passing game. They can stay in and block. But both of them are really good at the line of scrimmage on checkdowns and short passes. And I think that's where the Raiders need to go more. And because I think what's going to happen when they're in 12 personnel and other teams are playing zone and not blitzing and Devontae and Jacoby Myers are in the pattern. So you got Devontae and Jacoby Myers out there. Follow me here. You got Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers. Let's assume Michael Mayer stays in more than Brock Bowers. You're sending three guys out into a zone coverage, and it's Devontae, Jacoby Myers, and Brock Bowers. And the defense is thinking you're going to run the ball with Zamir White. So they think that they're going to stack the box. What the Raiders need to do this year is Luke Getsy has to sell the fact that the Raiders are going to run it first. They're going to run it hard. They are going to be a kick-ass, straight-ahead, mano-a-mano, hands-on-you, blocking team, pushing the pile, and running the ball to set up the pass. I don't like that. I like going four wide in the shotgun on every play and throwing. That's me. I know that doesn't work all the time. I like that style of football because I see it tear up the Raiders all the time. And especially not last year because the Raiders' defense was vastly improved. vastly improved. But over the last 4 or 5 years, Patrick Mahomes goes 4 wide with Kelsey. Huh. And remember when they had the cheetah, Tyreek Hill? We didn't stand a chance because we could not cover their misdirection. We couldn't cover it. Tyreek Hill's in motion. Kelsey's running an out route or an in route. And then they got Mahomes extending the pocket. So Mahomes is rolling to the right, extending the pocket. Boom, he's hitting guys that are wide open. That was the formula in the Brady era in New England. You don't like to hear about the Patriot way. Why not? They won 6 Super Bowls. What did Brady do? They set up 12 personnel, 2 tight ends, Aaron Hernandez, the murderer, who ended up going to jail and taking his life, and Rob Gronkowski. When they were at their best, you didn't know what to do because both of those tight ends were elite. And they were great in the passing game, and they were physical, and they were nasty. Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez would knock your face in the dirt on every play if they weren't in the route. Well, we can do that. We got Michael Mayer. He's nasty. He's a big boy. And Brock Bowers is a leverage guy. He's pretty big. He's not as big as Big Mike, but he can move his hands and his hips and plant your ass into the ground and then take off and run a route. But as we talked about yesterday, this will only work is if the Raiders can sell that they can run the ball effectively. I believe that you want to do that. Now, follow me here. Again, I'm not in the meetings. You line up on the left side, Colt Miller, and to the left of Colt Miller, you have Michael Mayer. How's that? Okay? So it's 1st and 10 at the 30-yard line, and you're running it right over the left side with Zeus. Devontae's on the left side, too. Maybe you bring him in motion. And you clear out that area, and Michael Mayer and Colt Miller are blocking down behind Zeus, in front of Zeus, and they're picking up 4 yards. Now it's 2nd and 6. And whoever the quarterback there, fake handoff to Zeus, play action, and boom. Oh, my God, close your eyes unless you're driving. How gorgeous does that look? Follow me here. Put on those Meta glasses, the goggles, and you're just looking at the open field, and Brock Bowers is cutting over the middle. Devontae's over the top. Oh, no, there's Trey Tucker. Single coverage down the sideline. There's no safety help. He's with a corner. All of this can work. It's set up to work, but they've got to run the ball first. And if they're able to run it effectively, then I think the team is really going to be able to execute. Now, the other big thing on this, as we open it up, and I want you to hear from Luke Getsy as he touches on the tight end and talks about Bowers and what they can do. Here's the offensive coordinator now, who I would assume is working 17 hours a day, drawing up plays for this guy.
Yeah, no, I'm extremely excited. I think, you know, Brock's a unique guy. I think it's been said here plenty of times. He was probably the best player in the SEC for some time there while he was there. He won a bunch of games, and so anytime you could bring that type of caliber of player into your organization, you're going to get better. And then you match him and you pair him with the talent that we already have here. I think that just makes you more dynamic. This league's about finding as many dynamic guys as you can get on your team. I mean, that's the goal. As you see the construction of all these teams in the league, everyone's trying to find those dynamic differences. And I think he's just one of those elements that gives us an opportunity to do a bunch of different things.
A bunch of different things. Did you hear what Luke Getsy said? A bunch of different things. Can we please, please do some different things around this joint? I thought that Josh McDaniels, I'll take the heat, I thought that he would have given you the most elaborate, insane offense you'd ever seen. Problem is, he didn't have the quarterback. He drafted Aiden O'Connell, and I give McDaniels credit for having him ready. They did a nice job with him. They did a really good job drafting Aiden O'Connell in the 4th round, having him in the training room, have him healthy, have him ready. And they prepared him well. Aiden O'Connell's a good player. He's a good player because he got drafted by Ziegler and coached by McDaniels. And McDaniels didn't do much on the offense. The offense, to me, was highly underachieving. They were an offense that still baffles me. Someone should do a 30 for 30 on that Raider offense. I don't know how that didn't work. It just seemed like they were timid. They didn't want to run stuff. They were very vanilla. And then Luke Steckel, who has 16 years experience, he's the tight end coach. Listen to him as he's working with Getsy every day, and they're trying to figure out the tight end package.
Yeah, you know, it's probably not the answer we give in the spring. A lot of that stuff will be determined on a game-by-game basis. The number one quality of great coaches is great players, and I'm very fortunate because I got some great players in our room, and, you know, being able to use the skill sets of both those guys because I think they match well off of each other, and really it's all the way down to you know, one through six. We got six great tight ends in our room, and they all have a versatile skill set. So it's just going to be on a week-to-week basis. How can we use them best to attack what the defense is showing on film? And but it's nice when you have guys that have that versatility. Mike can do a lot of things. Brock can do a lot of things. The rest of the tight ends have very defined and versatile skill sets. So I'm excited once we do get to the season of seeing how we can pair those guys and work through it. But, yeah, excited to have both those guys in our room.
All right, that's the point I wanted to make today. There's not a lot of low-hanging fruit out there, guys. I'm sorry. It's the end of May, last day of May. I'm sorry. I don't have a game to break down. I don't have coaches. I didn't interview the coach this week. It's light. Okay, so I'm giving you the best content I can give you. And I think the best content is the deep dive into these tight ends, these young guns, these young bucks, and what they're going to do. You just heard from two coaches, the tight end coach and the offensive coordinator, who are thrilled to have these guys. The offensive coordinator and the tight end coach will be judged in front of Mark Davis, Tom Telesco, and Antonio Pierce on how these tight ends perform. The all-time leading receiver in Raider history for a single season is Darren Waller. We just saw it. We just saw higher than Jerry Rice, higher than Tim Brown, higher than Cliff Branch, higher than Fred Biletnikoff was a guy named Darren Waller. And you know why Waller had the single season all-time reception record for the Raiders? Because they did not treat him like a tight end. He was a receiver. That's what we need to do with Brock Bowers. It hit me like a ton of bricks today, excuse the pun, because Darren Waller's got out a new video about breaking up with Kelsey Plum, and I saw the video, and I'm like driving around, and I'm always thinking about Brock Bowers and what he can do. And I go, we have a blueprint. So for years, let's just go back 5 years, the birth of Raider Nation Radio. What have I been telling you here almost every day I'm on the air? Run the plays that you run in Henderson. Run the plays that you run in practice. Stay with them and be explosive. And throw it to the best guys. I'm a Devontae guy. Sometimes you on YouTube, I'm looking right at you, JT the Brick YT, and those listening, you want to spread the ball out. I really don't. I give it to Devontae all the time. I'm a Devontae guy. I think Devontae's here for a certain amount of time. I throw it to him on every play. I'm good with that. I get a flag. I get a touchdown. I love Devontae. I overuse Devontae. Until now, because we got Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is insane. You can throw the ball to Devontae 1 yard and he can beat someone. Brock Bowers is different. Brock Bowers is you throw it to him behind the line of scrimmage, he goes 35 yards. We haven't had that here. Hunter Renfrow was very good with the twitchiness and the shake off the line of scrimmage. And Waller, we saw the beauty of Darren Waller, and it was a very good move to get out of the Darren Waller contract and move him. For a number of reasons, and that will all come out in the long run, on why Hunter isn't here, why Waller wasn't here. No need to talk about that today. But they have moved on. And we saw two recent brilliant years by two different players, Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller, when they were targeted all the time and they had two of the greatest seasons in Raiders history. Let's go back and look at that tape. Let's look at that tape again. How'd that look? How do we fit that Darren Waller tape? Because Michael Mayer can't do what Darren Waller did. Sorry. Michael Mayer is very good. He's not as athletic as Darren Waller. Brock Bowers is. Brock Bowers might be more athletic than Darren Waller. And it's hard to do that. So you can debate that topic. But we got two tight ends now that are going to really define this offseason. The goal is to get them up to speed quickly. Have them ready for the Harbaugh brothers where the league screwed us again. Someone's playing games. On Park Avenue, someone was playing games in the boardroom saying, let's have the Raiders open up against Jim Harbaugh and John Harbaugh and fly both sides of the country in the first 2 weeks. Well, the thing that we got going is we got a really good, nasty offensive lineman that just came in from Oregon, and we got Brock Bowers. And I don't know how they're going to defend that. I don't know how the other teams are going to look at that. We got Zamir White. We got Devontae. And then the quarterback. If we were sitting here in August, we have three preseason games. I mean, I'm going balls out on this quarterback race at that time. By then, I don't think we're going to know who the quarterback's going to be until after the third preseason game. Maybe going into the third preseason game, we'll find out that Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew would name the starter. I don't know any other time other than that. I don't think you have to do that at training camp in the preseason, but you'll get an understanding. You know, Vinny Bonsignore is going to join us next. We'll get an understanding in some way through camp who's getting the more looks, who had the better camp, who threw the most interceptions, you know, who had the most batted balls, and then we'll be able to have a solid debate on who's going to be the quarterback. But I'm not having a debate on who the two starting tight ends are. The number two wide receiver is Jakobi Meyers. Are you kidding me? The guy's great. He's not good. He's great. Devontae Adams is a top five receiver in this league still in the premium part of his prime. And the question mark is going to be, how can Zamir White handle the entire season as the featured back, Alexander Mattison behind him, and who's going to be the starting quarterback? The reason why the NFL Network, Fox Sports 1, ESPN, will not give the Raiders the time of day. I mean, the Raiders could have the Pope visit, George Clooney in the lobby. I mean, they could have the President of the United States for now show up, and they wouldn't get any coverage. I mean, these knuckleheads on the television networks won't even give the Raiders a shred of an aerial view of Vegas with the light. They weren't even looking. I doubt anybody from the national media is going to be out here for camp the way they're not covering this team. I mean, the Aces are getting more coverage than the Raiders. It's good. No drama. Go get them. Put together the new Getsy playbook. Make it more explosive. I think it's going to be nastier. I think it's going to be more violent. And from talking to the coach at the Raiders golf tournament, I think that this whole team, you can't be cocky if you don't make the playoffs. Let me calm everyone down. You can't start telling everyone how great you are if you don't win playoff games. But this team's coming into L.A. They are screaming coming into L.A. No matter what happens in that game, I'm not going to predict the victory today or not. I'm just telling you, Raiders are coming into L.A. for that opener, and they will be heard. And they better deliver because they're coming in there fired up, ready to go. That's the monologue. I think it was the best one of the week, if I do say so myself. Now you have the opportunity to call in before I have my bucket of Modelos, and we can do that. It's my son's 21st birthday coming up, so we're car shopping today. Can I get a loan, Bobby? I mean, I am hemorrhaging right now. My Rolling Stones tickets could buy two cars. I got to go buy a car. I mean, thank God I got a long driveway. I got to buy another car for a kid to send him back to his senior year. Yeah, right. Send him back to his senior year at ASU. Do you believe I got a senior coming up at ASU, man? Graduate from Oklahoma and a senior at ASU. And I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to go out there his senior year and hang out at ASU, man. Because he hasn't been able to go to the bars because he's a young 20. He's a late 21. And that ASU is one of those towns where you can't go with the fake ID. All the kids have the fake ID, which I support. I had one too. You just handed the bartender. You don't do that at ASU, man. They take the ID and they put it in the machine that reads your license. So you can't have a license from China or a license that says you're from West Virginia. So I'm going to head out to ASU on Mill Avenue, go to some games this year, watch my son his final year, play some golf out there, and have a lot of fun. Man, the Dallas Mavericks, hour number two. I'm a full-service sports talk host. I'm talking NBA Finals. I do not root for Boston. Bobby's a big Boston guy. I always root against Boston. I will never root for a Boston team. I want them to lose, but I got a problem. I don't like Luka. He's the biggest whining, sniveling basketball player I've ever seen. I've never seen a guy whine and cry as much as Luka Doncic. He is disturbingly bothersome to me. And then Kyrie Irving, the flat earther, who didn't want to play with this team during COVID. I don't like him much either. So this is going to be a tough NBA Finals for me. But God, the Mavericks are playing well. Oh, they are playing well. I love the way they're playing. They are peaking at the right time. Hardcore Raider starts us off on the flagship on a Friday. Go ahead.
Hey, JT. Happy Friday, partner.
You too.
Hey, so, you know, I'll be honest. When we first got that tight end in the first round, I was a little perplexed. I didn't freak out like some drafts, but I was just like, it was really puzzling to me. And so I wanted to sleep on it. And the kind of the first thing that, I thought of, and we've all kind of talked about it, but is essentially the red zone, you know. We all know for far too long, no matter who the quarterback was, that we have had huge deficiencies in being able to score touchdowns.
Well, let me stop you for a second. Let me stop you because we don't throw it in the end zone. We had really good offensive coaches here, offensive head coaches, and we never threw the ball in the end zone. And that's what troubled me, too, hosting the pre- and post-game show. Put the ball in the end zone and get a flag and set the ball on the one-yard line or get a touchdown. We didn't attack the end zone. Luke Getsy knows that. That was part of the interview process now. He's got to attack the end zone.
Oh, absolutely, JT. I'm with you 100%. You know, I mean, you know, with what we have now, now we have options. We have weapons, whether it's a two tight end set or whether it's Trey Tucker, Davante Adams, Jacoby Myers. I mean, now the playbook is wide open. So for me, like, I'm excited. I think we're going to surprise some people. I think some people that are doubting Aiden O'Connell or Minshew or however this thing pans out, at the end of the day, I think we're going to see a lot more production, especially in the red zone. And a lot of that has to do, like, if we could get out of this draft with the first pick overall, and you could tell me that, hey, we're going to pick a dynamic player that's going to help our red zone efficiency to where we're actually going to get touchdowns instead of settling for field goals, I'm all about it every day of the week, man. That's all I got to say. Okay. I'm excited with what we got.
Yeah, so am I. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you starting us off. Opens up a line for you before the top of the hour. We got Vinny Bonsignore coming up next. No one thought we were going to get Michael Mayer. Nobody did. Mel Kiper didn't think so. Nobody, Peter Schrager, Jay Glazer, no one did. So I didn't. You didn't. No one called me the week of the draft. We did five shows. No one said, oh, what happens if Brock Bauer drops to us? I anchored the draft with Eric Allen. We never once mentioned Brock Bowers. We didn't mention him. We mentioned Fuaga, the tackle from Oregon State. We mentioned other guards and tackles. We never mentioned Bowers. Brock Bowers is a gift from God. How lucky are we, the season ticket holders of the Raiders, to have Brock Bowers in a Raiders jersey at Allegiant Stadium if he's handled correctly? I don't think they handled Michael Mayer right last year. I don't. I think they scripted some plays to him. Big Mike did a great job, and they never went back to him. There's only one football. Devontae's out there. Sounds like I'm talking about both sides of my mouth. I'm telling you that I want Devontae to touch it almost on every play. Well, then you can't get the ball to Michael Mayer. And Jacoby Myers gets a lot of touches too. So let's get some first downs, because the more first downs we get, then the more opportunities there is to stay on the field and go out and make more plays. All right. The 27-minute banger. Like that one. Vinny Bonsignore will join us next. A lot to get to today. Busy day today. Hey, head on out to the M Resort and Spa and Casino. Those Ice Cube tickets are selling fast. I'd get in touch today. Go to my Twitter feed and get your Ice Cube tickets. It's going to be a fun opening weekend in Raider Nation.
I'm excited. I mean, what Aiden did the last four games and what he's done this offseason, changing his body, his work ethic, being here every day, blocking out the outside noise, not worried about anything. I'm excited. And then you bring Gardner in here, and then listen, you talk about personality. I know you guys interviewed him. It's great. It's great for our building. It's great for our quarterback room. And if you got competition in the quarterback room, what does every other room look at? Looking at those two guys. Anthony Brown's done a heck of a job as well. So what I see is guys getting out there early. Aiden is already kind of taking the bull by the horn, and he's leading the way, and Minshew's right there doing as well. Two guys that's played, and you saw them play against each other last year, and they went neck to neck. But I'm really excited to see what happens. I think it's going to be a process. We're going to stick to the process. But as I said before, Aiden's earned the right to go out there and get the first snap.
Yeah, I agree with that. Give Aiden the first snap at what? Camp? Yeah, let him be the leader in camp, and let's see if Gardner Minshew can track him down. JT back with you as we continue on here, brought to you by the M Resort Spa and Casino. Head on out to the M Resort. Great place to go to dinner this weekend, and the pool is wide open. Concerts out at the pool. Unbelievable drink menu. Head on out to the M Resort Spa and Casino, and head on out to the Raiders Tavern and Grill. Every week we're fortunate to be joined by Vinny Bonsignore, Raider Insider, and also our teammate here on Raider Nation Radio. Vinny, before you came on, I spent about 25 minutes talking 12 personnel and two tight ends and how to exploit that. But it really, I think, comes down to the running game. You got to establish the run first to set up play action and get more elaborate in that scheme. What have you learned about Zeus and Madison so far, even though it's just light OTAs? How do they look?
Yeah, and I think that, well, first of all, Zamir White looks bigger than he did last year, which is kind of remarkable considering what a physical specimen he's always been.
Right.
You know, and I think he's he's definitely taken, not that he hasn't previously, because he always has, but I think he understands the role has changed going into this year, potentially for him, and it's now on him, you know, to hold on to that role, but, you know, make sure that the body is ready to go in order to withstand what it's going to withstand, being the top running back. Now, we'll see how that all plays out, but I think that he's up to that challenge. I think he showed enough over the last four games to show that. Then you bring in an Alexander Mattison who is accustomed to playing the role that I think the Raiders ideally want him to play. Remember, he was a complement to Dalvin Cook in Minnesota for a couple of years and flourished in that role. And when Dalvin Cook, you know, because he did deal with some injuries over the years, when he couldn't go, Alexander Mattison showed that he could be a viable backup if needed to start a couple of games and certainly to complement him during games. So that's the role that I think ideally Alexander Mattison is going to play for the Raiders as long as Zamir, you know, is up to that challenge. And if they are, then I think what you're talking about in terms of the running game being effective and being productive in order for the rest of the offense, the pass game of this offense to play at an even higher level or to potentially play at an even higher level. Because to me, when you look at this Raiders offense, there's going to be, you know, offense is complementary to begin with, but especially now with where the Raiders are at quarterback, I think it's going to be all hands on deck type of an effort. And if everyone is playing, you know, that kind of complementary football and that kind of effective football, then collectively this Raiders offense can be pretty potent. But it needs everybody, the run game, the offensive line, the quarterback to play at a stable, efficient level. I think you know what you're going to get from the wide receivers and potentially from Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers as the tight ends. But if everyone is playing to their level and it's not asking guys to do more than what they're capable of, if they're just doing what they're capable to do of doing, this can be a potent offense.
Vinny Bonsignore is our guest. Vinny, tell us about the health of the offensive line overall as they come into OTAs. They get the break before camp here because this offensive line, I think, added depth, no doubt, via the draft, especially here. They brought in some veterans to come in there for depth positions here. How optimistic are you for this offensive line to start the year healthy, at least training camp healthy, and really hit the ground running in two tough games right out of the gate on the road?
Yeah, and it's going to need to be an anchor on this team, especially, like you say, going on the road. What do you need to win? What do you need to do to win on the road? You need to run the ball. You need to play defense. And can kind of control the pace and control the environment as well. And part of that is going to be on the offensive line coming out of the gate strong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right now, Colton Miller has been more of a spectator, at least when we're out there watching. Jackson Powers Johnson, the preemptive left guard, starting left guard, he hasn't been out there the last couple of times that we've been out there. So I don't think there's anything serious going on. It's just that time of year. But to your point, they need to be ready to go to start training camp in order to be a strength of this team or an anchor of this team early on. I like what they did in terms of the backups that you just mentioned. Andrews Pete, a former Pro Bowl guard who's now going to play left tackle. A guy like Cody Whitehair, who's another former Pro Bowler. Look what he could do. He could play center. He could play both guard positions. Andrews Pete can play tackle. He's been a Pro Bowl guard, so if need be, you know, he could always stall somebody at that position. That's something that the Raiders haven't quite had in terms of a veteran backup, you know, players that are proven players in backup roles to be able to, if you need them, strategically put at left guard or right tackle or left tackle in Andrews Pete's case. So I like where they're headed with the veteran depth that they've created, and we'll see now. Can Bear Munford be the guy at right tackle? What's the transition going to be like for Dylan Parham to right guard? I think that that's going to be fine. And how quickly can Jackson Powers Johnson be a viable left guard in the NFL? If all that comes together sooner rather than later, this has a chance to be a pretty good offensive line.
Vinny Bonsignore is our guest. Vinny, you got a lot of contacts around the league, especially former teams that you covered. You have GMs, assistant GMs. What are some of the people that you talk to think about the Raiders? Because I always think I'm not a good example of this because I always think the Raiders are getting disrespected. That's just my DNA as a sports talk host. I don't see enough on ESPN, NFL Network. I see nothing, actually, and I consume a lot of content every day. I see close to nothing in regards to the national media's coverage of the Raiders. What are some of the people that you talk to think of the team now as we're coming out of OTAs and we're going to get ready for training camp?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny this time of year when you talk to coaches and you talk to general managers around the league, just people in the league, especially, guys that are handling their own business with their own teams. And, you know, kind of a consensus this type of year, and this is not to evade the question at all, but you'll get guys saying, I don't even know what the hell I have on my team right now. You know, like it's the spring. You know, it's OTAs. Everyone's just trying to get an assessment, a feel for their team, because, you know, there's carryover. And when you look at the Raiders, that especially that defensive carryover with 10 starters basically coming back, and, you know, you add a Christian Wilkins to a defense that gave up the ninth fewest points in the league, you feel like there's continuity there and chemistry and an understanding of what Patrick Graham's going to do. And that feels like that's something that the Raiders can build on. That's something that they can hang their hat on. Conversely, it's a new offensive system. It's a new quarterback. You know, Zamir White's going to be asked to play a different role than he ever has. You're going to have two young tight ends. So, you know, what are the Raiders right now? Well, they have the potential to be pretty good, but it's all predicated on who wins the starting quarterback job and what level of quarterback player they're going to get. How quickly is Brock Bowers going to be able to make an impact? Is Michael Mayer ready to take that next step forward, which a lot of people think that he is? On paper and potentially, there's a lot to like about this Raider team, and I think there's an acknowledgement of that around the league, but it comes with a bit of a qualification.
Yes.
What are they going to get at quarterback? Honestly, that's you know, there's a good feeling about the defense. There's a good feeling about some of these weapons that the Raiders have, all the weapons that the Raiders have, quite frankly. What level of quarterback play are they going to get? Because I think that level of play, whatever it is going to either enable the Raiders to reach their ceiling or maybe not reach their ceiling.
Always a deep dive with Vinny Bonsignor as we wrap it up. So, Vinny, for me, this OTAs may be going away. Every time the league gives us a hint of a change, and it could be 18 games, it's been expansion, now expansion into South America after Germany. They tell us about new tweaks to the schedule. What are you sensing? Because without OTAs, if it's an expanded training camp, a longer training camp by a couple of weeks, and the players start doing classroom and not on the field OTAs as soon as next year, if that happens, that affects you a lot. It affects me a lot. I mean, you're out there all the time. You live over at the building. You want to get a glimpse of everybody out there. What are you hearing around the league on big changes that could be coming next year?
Yeah, and what's interesting about this one is this one's coming from the other side, the Players Association. You know, so it feels like to me, with the speculation that there's going to be an 18-game schedule coming up, it feels like to me the NFL Players Association is like, okay, you want the 18 games? We could talk about this, but this is what we want to talk about in terms of you know, a different schedule, a different way of handling spring. I don't know necessarily that they've got the kind of support that they may hope or think that they have from the rank and file players. That's going to have to, you know, that remains to be seen. And we'll see where all that goes. Maybe there is some kind of tinkering that needs to be done. I don't know if complete overhaul is the way to go. There's just a lot at stake, whether you're talking about injuries, making sure people are in shape, you know, to start training camp, your young quarterbacks in the NFL, changing from one system to the other. You know, this is a valuable time of year when you're talking about implementing a new system or trying to master what you already kind of have or break in a young quarterback. There's a lot of, there's a lot of that's going on right now this time of year. So if I'm the Players Association, you know, maybe in addition to this, I'm looking at trying to expand the rosters if there's going to be an 18-game schedule, create more jobs for people, create more flexibility for rosters so that with an added game, and that's an added week of practice and all that good stuff, and also snap counts, you know, during the season, how many times are you going to have to reduce maybe snaps for star players to kind of make sure that they're going to get through the season? How much depth do you need to make up for that? But, you know, those are all discussions for a different day, but it certainly sounds like somebody at the NFL Players Association at some level wants to make a drastic change, and we'll see where the players are with that. And quite frankly, where the owners are, too, because they're going to have to sign off on that.
Last one off topic. Are you good with J.J. Redick if he's the head coach of the Lakers? Do you like an unexperienced coach who does a podcast with LeBron James? Is that the direction of one of the greatest franchises in North American sports history?
Yeah, and here's the thing. I've had many conversations with some friends about this. You know, Steve Kerr hadn't coached a lick before he took over the Golden State Warriors. Larry Bird hadn't coached anything. He was a special consultant with the Indiana Pacers before he took over. And by the way, the Pacers were in the finals like 2 years later. The Warriors were in the finals a year later. I think I've known JJ for a while, going back to when he was in Los Angeles with the Clippers. I think he's a bright mind. I think that he'll have respect from the players. He's going to have to continue to earn that, obviously. But to sit here and say that it's going to work or not going to work, we don't know. And a lot of it's going to be come down to personnel decisions and who do you have on your team. I always laugh because Steve Kerr, Phil Jackson wanted to bring Steve Kerr with him to the New York Knicks.
Yeah, tell me about it.
All right, so you tell me whether we'd even be talking about Steve Kerr right now if he decided to go to New York with Phil in a total rebuild in New York, rather than do what he did, which was go to a team that was on the brink. Remember, the Warriors were knocking on the door. That's the reason why they made the change that they did from Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr. They needed a new voice to get him to a next level. And that was the right situation for him to go in. Would it made him a less of a coach if he didn't succeed in New York with the kind of garbage teams that they had there under Phil Jackson? No. He would have been the same guy, just a different group of players and a way different level of talent. So whether it works or not, I don't think anyone knows at this point. But to say that it wouldn't, just because he doesn't have, quote-unquote experience, there's way too many examples of coaches who took over, especially former players, who took over and did a good job with the, appropriate level of talent, even though they may not have had the vast amount of coaching experience, on their resume to that point.
I see you have a watch party with the Aces. Tell us about that.
Yep, absolutely. 4:30 over at Husong's Cantina at Boca Park. Tip-off is at 4:30. The Aces play the Atlanta Dream, giving away tickets to future Aces games. If you join me and you come wearing Aces gear, I don't care if it's a hat, socks, a jersey, a sweatband, whatever it is, a wristband, you're going to get 15% knocked off your check tonight. So check us out, Raider Nation Radio and Finley of Henderson, Finley Ford of Henderson, throwing a big party, a big watch party over at Husong's Cantina today.
Fabulous. Have a good night. Have a good weekend. Talk to you next week, man.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
That's Vinny Bonsignore joining us, as he does every week. We got him on Friday this week, and I wanted to do, he's at camp, he's there, and he's going to tell you what he sees, and it's normally pretty accurate, and it's opinionated, which is fantastic. All right, I'm going to take this up about another 10, 12 minutes on YouTube. You got 60 people in the YouTube. I like that. 3 months ago, I had nobody. Didn't even have a YouTube page. Now we got one building. Think of how good it's going to be when Raider season starts, and I'm streaming, and we're talking about actual games, not summertime radio. Ooh, and summertime radio is coming up with the top 10 games in Raiders history as we're building that out. A great Friday brought to you by Modelo. It's the number one beer in America.
Every guy needs different things in your training. So, I went back home and just, worked on the eating habits, worked on the get off, worked on me. Just get away from coaches that's, working with everybody, and just had somebody that focused on me, and then came back here and there and worked out with Max and worked out with the guys.
And Tyree Wilson, who seems like he's listening to Max, trying to get better and improve. That was the 7th pick overall the year before, and he's got a pop this year. Too high of a draft pick. Need a big year out of Tyree Wilson. He has to have a big year. I was just watching some video of Kyrie Irving flipping off the Boston fans, stepping on the logo of the Leprechaun. This is going to get good. We're going to have to wait almost a week till Thursday for game one of the NBA Finals. Last night I was at La Casa Cigars. Mike is here. He owns the place. It's fantastic. Mike, great crowd last night. Great live music. The fans were on outside. I felt like I was sitting somewhere in Italy, man. Italy. Other than the view, I felt like I was in Italy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, man. Nice job with those beautiful cases you have, too. Tell us about that, too, those cigar cases you showed Teo and I. Those are fantastic.
Yeah, we're going to start doing some giveaways during the month of June, where if you buy a couple of sticks from certain companies like Altadis, which are Monte Cristos and Romeo Julietas, we'll give away a free carrying case of cigars. They hold about four or five sticks. We have some specials going on. We have a great lineup of live entertainment every night. Tonight's going to be Craig Cantor. He's a local singer who sings music from the 2000s to now and can sing pretty much everything. So we're getting ready for the, you know, the summer months, mm-hmm. and making sure everybody's having a good time. Even if you don't smoke, you can always sit out on the patio, yes. have a nice cocktail, and, you know, enjoy the music. There's yeah. no cover charge, so it's always a good time.
Absolutely. Hey, lastly, Mike, you into this two tight end set, 12 personnel with Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers. You liking how that sounded?
I like how it sounded. The only thing, I hope that the blocking on the outside from the two tight ends really helps the running game. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm just a little concerned about the running game. I just hope that our running backs can mm-hmm. penetrate that defensive line and get to the second level. They do that, I mean, we'd be in good shape.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for last night. See you soon.
Yeah, you take care now, JT.
You got it, Mike at La Casa Cigar, a proud partner. You better believe he's allowed to call in and promote his establishment. Absolutely. He's a partner of ours on Raider Nation Radio. He's got a little bit of a concern on the running back position, and I think some other fans do too. Can Zamir White carry the load? He did four games last year when Josh Jacobs got injured. Can he run for 17 games? And Madison behind him, I think, is a good runner. He can run. All right, I'm going to say goodbye to our YouTubers. Thank you very much. We're going to do another hour here from Studio with Bobby. How about that? Resorts World, another establishment I'll be at this weekend. I get around. These are my proud partners. And when I go to Junior's, pastrami on rye, I'm going to pass on the vanilla milkshake, even though it's great. Coleslaw is amazing. Just one of the finer establishments inside Resorts World.